Welcome to the Inside the Game podcast by Scorers for Sport Management. My name is Gerrit Kersten Thiele, and today I'm excited to be joined by Alexandra Shaw. Alexandra is our Director of Women's Basketball here at Scorers First, and she can look back at a long and successful pro career herself, having played in the German top league and having been a member of the German national team for several years. So she can definitely speak from her own experience as a player and, you know, the things she kind of saw and witnessed throughout her career. She came to me in 2013 to learn more about the agent business, how some things work, and she basically wanted to fill a void that she saw in women's basketball when it comes to representation, and she's been doing a great job ever since for us. So we're super excited to have her on board, and I hope that this podcast gives you some good insight into her work, into how working as an agent works, and what's important to us at Scorers First, but also how the business of basketball works on the women's side. So with that, we'll move on to the show, and we'll hope that you enjoy it. Thanks for listening to the Inside the Game podcast by Scorers First. All right, so today we want to welcome you to the Scorers First Inside the Game podcast, and our guest today is it's a little shameless plug for our own Scorers for Sport Management. We have Alexandra Shaw on the podcast, who's our director of women's basketball. Hello, Alex.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, great to have you here. As we just talked about it a little bit, it's been much longer than when maybe we both expected that you started kind of working in the agent business as well and joining Scorers First. You've been with us since 2013 after a very good basketball career in Germany as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your own pro career and your own basketball career?
Sure. I started at the age of 9 and just fell in love with the game of basketball, played in Germany, got recruited to play for the German youth national teams, and ventured on to play at Northwestern in the U.S. after I finished high school in Germany. Played at Northwestern and came back to Germany and finished off my career in Germany.
Okay. And how many agents did you work with during your time as a player?
Zero.
Okay. So a lot of things on the basketball, on the business side of basketball, probably changed, since those days. I mean, you and I have known each other for a long time as I've represented your now husband, Ty Shaw. This goes back a few more years. What has it been, or what was the reason why you decided after playing professionally yourself that you said, maybe being an agent could be interesting for me?
My friends or my former teammates, we always talked about having agents, but we didn't feel like there was an agency that gave female athletes the right platform. So we discussed it. And after I was done playing, I just thought, talking about it is great, but why not taking the initiative and start a new agency on the woman's side? And that really was my drive and the motivation behind it. And then in 2013, that's when I approached you, Gerrit, and with the idea of starting the women's side of things. And 7 years later, I think we came a long way, and it's been a fun ride. It's been a lot of work, but we're very, very happy where it's taken us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think from day one, you've done a great job. And I think the advantage of having played yourself, kind of knowing what was missing to some extent, I think that helped a ton. But I think that's also what made this special, that you could take feed from your own experience or what you thought maybe could have helped you. Is that something you're noticing now, or where you've changed sides and where you're more on the business side, is that something where you notice something is different, or what's your view on it now looking back from the other side?
I believe my view is always I try to put myself in the player situation, and I always try to work that. I try to be fair, of course, for both sides. I think you always have to see the club's perspective and the player's perspective. But at the same time, I'm always trying to put myself in the player's shoes and just try to look at the situation in a very neutral way, you know? So you kind of course, see it through the eyes of the players, and you listen to your players and, you know, the things that are going through. But at the same time, you also need to get the club's perspective on things. So this really helps knowing in what kind of situation the players are, and then just trying to navigate them through them, and at the same time keep the clubs involved and just being the middleman between the club and the players. And that has been a very, very good approach, and I think successful approach for us.
Mm-hmm. And what's the thing where you feel like that's the most fun you have in all of this? I mean, success is one thing, and then kind of finding the common ground for both sides to build something successful is super important for the player. But what is it that has been the most fun for you in all of this over these now 7 years?
The most fun for me is definitely building the relationships with our clients. Many of them have been with us for many years, and you don't only get to know them as players, but you really get to know the person behind them. Mm-hmm. And you develop a feel for the player, and they don't always need to call you and, you know, tell you that something is wrong. A lot of times I have a feel and I just check in myself. That has definitely been one of the, you know, the most fun experiences in this whole thing. And at the same time, watch their development. You know, that we have players that started in mid-level leagues and then have taken their talent to top teams in Europe and even to the WNBA, and yeah, just get going that extra mile with them and always pushing for them and believing in them, because you have the relationship and their trust. That has been that really gives me joy, and that what makes that job so special.
Awesome. Yeah, and one thing that I think a lot of people that are thinking about getting into this business, whether that's on the men's side or women's side and sports in general, they have this feeling of, oh, this is going to be awesome. This will be easy. I just help somebody and money is coming in quickly, and it's all a piece of cake, which we both know it isn't. What has surprised you the most, or what is it that you didn't expect to be that hard or weird or whatever? Like, what surprised you the most?
It really surprised me the most how hard of a job it is and how much work it is. You know, being a player myself, you have a certain view of agents, and you think, oh, what is an agent doing all day? They need to get me a contract, and then they get 10%, and it's easy. Mm-hmm. But man, I was really wrong. There goes so many things into this job. From, you know, getting a contract, yeah, is one thing, but you need to build relationships with the team. You need to build trust, the relationship with the players and the club, so they believe in your player, because obviously there's a lot of players on the market every year that are competing for the same jobs. So there's a lot of scouting, a lot of recruiting, a lot of, you know, you watch players' games to try to give them feedback. You talk to coaches during the season, then there's players' movement before, during, and even after the season, with markets like Australia or Puerto Rico, for example, that play in our summer. So there's always things going on, and I was really surprised how much work it really is. Okay. Not in a bad way, not in a bad way at all. I didn't see that coming.
But I think that also speaks to your work ethic and the things that are important to you, that you want to be as available and accessible, and that you care so much, you know. And I think that's part of your success, and you know, I think that that's awesome, and we're very happy to have you on board there with Scorers First. So that's really been great, and just looking forward to what's ahead. Now, you and your family have moved to the US a couple of years ago, and obviously that changes a lot of things as well, with time difference. A lot of our players are in Europe, so that creates obstacles. How do you manage that, having family, time differences? How do you manage all of that?
Luckily, the communication these days make it really easy to be honest. You know, of course, there's a certain time. Germany, for example, other countries, Russia, they're ahead of us 6 to 10 hours. But that's only the players know where I'm at, and if they know that they might have to wait those few hours, then that's okay. But other than that, I think I'm trying to be always available, and it's even a little advantage because if I email teams or reach out to teams at my nighttime, they have it in the morning. And if they want to, you know, answer and get back to me, then by the time I wake up, it's just their afternoon. So I don't really look at it as a disadvantage. I think it has actually opened more days because more doors, because I'm closer to the college game. I can, you know, follow sports here in the U.S. in terms of college and WNBA closer. And it was a lot of fun to watch Nayo and Marie last season live. They were in the WNBA. And then with Europe, I'm in close connection. I'll try to travel to Europe at least twice per season and try to see as many players as I can. So I think the modern communication makes it really easy, even if you live in a different time zone.
Right. That's what we've noticed, obviously, on the men's side as well, that over the years, communication has changed so much with, you know, internet and all the different ways to communicate that it sometimes it feels like it doesn't really matter where you are on this planet because you can communicate wherever you are. And the way we work, trying to be as present as possible, obviously, is something that we care about a lot, too. So it's the same there.
Exactly.
Now, we don't know when people will be listening to this because, I mean, like the podcast can be listened to at any time. But right now, the whole world is in the corona pandemic and we're all dealing with that, and you know, the different countries in Europe are at different points in that, and obviously it's a huge topic in the US right now as well. And while we are living in this basketball bubble, and for us basketball is one of the really big things, we're all seeing how it really, really affects us as well. When you've been speaking with clients, or you know, with everything that has been going on in Europe, when leagues started shutting down, how have you handled that? How did you approach that when talking with your clients there?
It's definitely has been challenging, but I just try to communicate as much as I can, checking in on all of my players. Especially when I first heard of it, I just made sure that all of our American players or even our European players that were in different countries, that they get to go home as soon as possible. Because I think once you realize that borders are shutting and, you know, players might be not able to go home anymore, I think basketball is kind of in the background and you need to make sure that players are where they feel the most comfortable at. So, and for most players, that is with their families. So we just made sure that we communicated with the clubs and the players and find a way to get players home as soon as possible. And then at the same time, of course, make sure that their contracts are taken care of. So that, and then in terms of next season or just navigating through everything right now, the key for me is communication and keep players involved in what's going on. You know, kind of giving them background, what the feedback is from clubs at the moment, that there's a lot of uncertainty for players that we recruited now. We just said that we don't have answers at the moment, like nobody has answers, but we will keep them informed along the way. We really, really hope that there is going to be a basketball season next year. We don't know at the moment. The same here with the WNBA. They announced this week that they're pushing back training camp and the start of the season indefinitely. Everyone is hoping that there will be a season, but at the same time, nobody knows. And I think the next weeks will show. So we just try to communicate, be very, very open and honest. And I think that's one of the pillars that we try to, you know, do with everything that we do, just be open and honest. And I think that's what our players really appreciate and value.
Right. I mean, you already mentioned recruiting, and obviously we're here in almost the middle of April, and normally March Madness would have just been over, and you know, we would have had all these exciting games and all that stuff, and then our recruiting time would have been right now. And I already see a lot of players, I almost feel like they're rushing to decisions, where I'm wondering what are they being told in regards to representation, because as you just mentioned, a lot of things are unknown. Is that something when you speak to graduating seniors now that has come up, that have they had questions, or is it more you communicating it directly, or how have you handled that part?
They definitely had questions because their season was obviously cut short. A lot of them planned on, you know, being in the NCAA tournament or just competing for their league's conference championships. So there's a lot of uncertainty. They want to keep playing. So we just try to, like what I just said, with be as open and honest as we can, tell them what the situation in Europe is, how teams react to the situation, and help them with the uncertainty. But at the same time, we cannot guarantee that there is a season next year, right? This time will show. I'm a very positive person, so of course I think there's going to be basketball, and you know, there might be maybe a few changes that leagues will start a little bit later than they're supposed to, but we will see what time will bring. And that's what we told our players. We will keep them posted. We keep them involved in the process, and they might have to be a little bit more patient than in the past, but at the same time, we're positive, and we try to do our very best in finding them a job overseas.
Right. And I think being open about that, and the fact that we don't know, and that there are some things that we can't control. And, you know, I think being open about that is a super important part, because I think that's part of what we have to do as agents, you know, manage expectations, help understand what's going on. And yeah, I mean, that's, we're handling it the same way. And then you already mentioned the WNBA, and there are some, exciting times right now for you with the draft coming up. A couple of names here and there that, you know, we're hopeful that those will work out. Do you have any thoughts on that right now? I know that keeps you busy at the moment.
Yeah, we're very excited. We have four draft prospects at the moment, two American girls and two European girls. Best to push for them and, you know, try to get them a spot. In my eyes, the WNBA is one of the most competitive job markets in the world. Mm-hmm. You have only 12 teams with 12 spots, so that gives you 144 jobs in total. And in training camp, even only 15 players are allowed, and you have 36 draft picks. So it's a very competitive job market, and it's an honor for us to, you know, promote these girls and try to help them to get in the league. And hopefully next Friday we will be celebrating it when names get called.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great, and I'm truly looking forward to that and excited about it. So that should be a great time. I mean, I think this has been great already. Is there anything else that you would kind of like to discuss, or are you good for now?
I think for listeners in general, it's important to know that, like, the three most important things in the way Scorers First works, I think, is we're very, very big on, you know, relationship building, communication, and trust. And that's what I tell all of my players. And I know, Garrett, for you, it's the same on the men's side. And I think that's everything we do is kind of based on that. And that has really helped us moving in the last 7 years and becoming a, you know, from really no players to being a big agency.
Right. Yeah. On the women's side, that has worked out really well over these 7 years. And like I said before, super pumped to have you on board and following your great work and trying to be a part of it. So yeah, we'd love to do this again, maybe in a few months, share some more about your work and how things are going on our women's side. And we'd love to do that. And thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Garrett.
Right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope that you enjoyed this chat with Alexandra Shaw, and please make sure to reach out to us via social media. You can find all of our direct contacts there in the bio to this podcast. And again, if you enjoyed this one, please keep coming back. We're going to try to have more of these in the next weeks and months to keep you or to give you information about the business of basketball, sports agents, talk to some clients, coaches, things of that nature. So we would love to hear from you, and we hope to have you in our audience again for future podcasts. And thanks for listening to the Inside the Game podcast by Scores for Sport Management.